This is the audio timestamp for room hall 1B. This is the post-lunch continuation of the CCNSO members meeting day two. Start time will be 2 o'clock local time, 1400 hours. Streams and live recording are all live.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to make a start in 2 minutes-ish, because we're a bit short of people in the room. Having given you an extended lunch hour, they've all gone off-site or somewhere, I suspect. I think we're also short of a few panellists. If we have anyone else we're waiting for, let's encourage you to come up front, and we'll start as soon as we're ready. Thank you. Okay, so good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back. This is the CCNSO panel session, which is our final main session for the CCNSO meeting. And this time around, we have a discussion on cross-regional capacity building. Maybe we should retitle that as happy regional capacity building. I think we mean cross across regions. Anyway, so the kind of theme around this is that the need for capacity building has been a topic of ongoing interest. It's at the core of some of the regional strategies. And we often talk about technical capacity building, operational capacity building, and so on. And also, we talk about this in the context of the need to strengthen the multi-stakeholder governance model. And there's loads of initiatives out there. There's loads of initiatives that could come under this heading. They range from hands-on operational training to sharing best practices and sharing experiences, and also initiatives and exercises to strengthen the multi-stakeholder model. So, what we'd like to talk about this afternoon is whether there is a need for coordination of capacity building efforts. And actually, there's two words in that sentence which are probably open to varying degrees of interpretation. So, what do we mean by coordination? And what do we mean by capacity building? Capacity building in what? I'm hoping that those areas can be explored. So we'd like to talk about what level of coordination might be needed. Do we have a goal? What is it? And at what level might there be coordination? At regional level, at global level, and so on. Do we have any short-term goals or long-term goals? Should we focus on a very narrow area or a very broad spectrum? I'm very much hoping that we'll get some answers to those questions this afternoon. So the format for this afternoon, in just a moment I'm going to ask the panel members to introduce themselves, and then we are going to have an opening brief presentation from Baher, who's going to talk about the Middle East strategy, particularly with regard to CCTRD capacity building. And then we're going to open up for a panel discussion, which will be moderated by one of my vice chairs, Byron Holland. I am going to endeavour to keep us to time, and the more serious challenge will be to summarise, if I can, some of the views over this session. So, let me start by asking for some introductions. Panos, would you like to begin, please? Who you are, where you're from?
Thank you, Leslie. I'm Paulos Nirenda. I'm from Malawi. I run the Malawi.mw CCTLD from the Africa region. I chair the Africa Top Level Domains Organization, AFTLD, and the organization is doing quite a bit of work in capacity building in the Africa continent. Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Carolina Guerre from LACTLD. I'm the general manager. LACTLD is the regional organization of CCTLDs in the Latin American and Caribbean region, and definitely capacity building is one of our main objectives. It's one of the main, as I would say, services we provide to our members, and we really are working on this, and we would like to engage even further in these activities.
My name is Keith Davidson. I'm the Vice Chair of the CCNSO Council. I'm contracted by InterNetNZ, the operators of .nz, amongst other things, to look after some key international relationships. I'm a member of the ISOC board, ISOC being a body truly seeking capacity building everywhere. I'm a former chair and director of APTLD, the Asia Pacific Top Level Domain Association. I'm the convener. convener of the inaugural Pacific IGF, and I want to concentrate what I'm discussing today on my neighbourhood, the Pacific area. So, thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is J. Scott Evans, and I am an attorney at Yahoo, Inc. I'm head of the Global Brand Domains and Copyright Division. I manage about 36,000 domain registrations for .Flickr, for Flickr, Yahoo, and Tumblr. I am also the owner of many country code top-level domain registrations, and Yahoo would like to reach out to this community in order to bring some of its commercial expertise in marketing and security in order to help country code top-level domains deal with the changing ecosystem that they're going to face when it's no longer 271, 273 domains, but it's 1,400, and your competition is a lot more fierce than it's ever been in the past. And so that's why I'm here today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Pierre Bonis. I'm Deputy CEO at AFNIC, the registry for the .fr. AFNIC has a tradition of working with its African counterparts, and we have Collège International, which gather between 10 and 13 CCTLDs, mostly Francophone African, and we work with them. They are members of our board, because they have one representative in the board. I would maybe add that before being in AFNIC, I've been involved in international cooperation with ICT for the French government for 10 years.
Hi, my name is Behr Esmet. I'm with ICANN. I'm part of the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team. I'm the regional VP for the Middle East, and I'm based in Cairo, Egypt.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Abibu Rashid Ntaigi from Tanzania, East Africa. I work with .tz Registry, and also I'm the ex-com member of FTLD. Have little experience on capacity building at regional level and national level as well. Thank you.
I am Demikechko from .br Brazil. I run the NIC BR, Brazilian NIC. We are a non-for-profit organization. We began in internet in 89 when we get a delegation of .br. I am the administrative contact in the IANA database since then. And we are a closed registry just for Brazilians or institutions that are located in the country. And we are a very thick registry. We don't have authorized registers. And we use the surplus of money we get with the registry for other activities. We will explain this after that. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for those introductions. Let me hand over to Baher just to set the scene. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to briefly talk about the ICANN engagement strategy in the Middle East. And this is just an example of other engagement efforts that ICANN has been undertaking in the past year. It started with the Africa strategy that was announced in Toronto as part of ICANN's new season, and the commitment made by our CEO to go to the world and get closer to stakeholders. Similar efforts started afterwards in Latin America and the Caribbean, as well as the Middle East, and currently with Asia Pacific as well. The Middle East is quite peculiar in the sense that it's not really a region. It's not one of the ICANN's geographical regions. It's countries that fall within the Middle East. They geographically fall within two different continents, Asia and Africa. So the countries I'm technically responsible for are the ones with the red stars. And when we started, and this spans from Egypt in the west all the way to Pakistan in the east, when we started talking to community members like 8-9 months back about engagement in the region, feedback we got from some people was that we need to also include North African countries in the strategy, even though they belong to a different region. So we included those countries, and in the working group that was established to work on the strategy, we had 22 members from 11 different countries. This was an entirely community-driven effort. People or volunteers coming from different stakeholders. We actually have about 6 or 7 members representing or coming from CCTLD operators in the Middle East, and they were participating actively, and actually they are still participating actively in the working group. They have worked over the past 6 months. We had the strategy finalized in early May, and today, this morning, we presented the implementation plan for year one, which is started July 1st this year. Just in a nutshell, the strategy identified, it was a 3-year strategy, and it identified 3 main overarching goals to foster engagement between ICANN and the Middle East region, and with the Middle East to mean all stakeholders in the Middle East, and to build strong and competitive DNS sector, and also to promote multi-stakeholder internet governance models. The group identified 3 key strategic areas with specific objectives and recommendations for each area: DNS security and stability, domain name sector, and internet governance ecosystem. The entire strategy document is posted online. You can go and check it. The implementation plan for year one is also posted on the ICANN community website. So this is a snapshot of the what you can see in the implementation plan. I'm not going to go into the details, but you can notice that there is a large part of the strategy or the plan is focusing on engagement, outreach, and capacity building. With capacity building, we not only talking about making organizing trainings and workshops and all this, but we're also talking about having programs to train the trainers and to build trainer capacities in the Middle East. So when we have any activities in the future, we could rely more on resources that exist in the region. Also, a good part of the strategy focus on developing the domain name sector, including CCTLD registries, including future GTLD registries, registrars. Also, the IDN element is very important in the Middle East. One of the few common factors in the Middle East region is that the whole region uses the same script. It's the Arabic script, even though we have different languages in some countries like Pakistan, Iran, but they still use the same script. So IDN is very important. This is the timeline. The group specified a number of activities over the year, divided onto the 4 quarters. Again, you can see that capacity building is very important. We're talking about areas like V6, DNSSEC, and CCTLD operations, IDNs, and so forth. Some activities will span over the year, like with the IDN regional task force. There was a recommendation to have a regional task force to provide input to the different projects within ICANN on IDNs, including variants and registration data and so forth. And currently, the group is working on the next actions that need to be undertaken to get the plan of the grounds. And with this, I'm going to stop here, and we'll be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Okay, let's gather up questions in the discussion as we go. Okay, so I'm going to hand over to Byron, who hopefully has a working mic now. Yeah, that sounds working. Let's open up for discussion. Thanks, Byron.
All right, thank you very much. I think we're going to have a really excellent discussion today, and one of the things that I think is always wonderful about this particular panel session is we tend to get a lot of folks from a variety of communities in this panel, not just the traditional CC folks who are always here in the room, but we have ICANN staff here from different perspectives, private sector actors, regional organizations, CCs, etc. So there's a good opportunity, I think, to have a very fertile discussion about this issue, which touches all or most of the communities within the ICANN space. So I also want it to be a conversation, not a monologue or a basic dialogue. So please, there's a wealth of perspectives, a wealth of organizations here at the front of the room, but also here in the rest of the room. So please don't be shy to ask for the mic, to ask questions, to offer your perspectives. So just to get started with, you know, we're talking about capacity building, but also primarily collaboration. And collaboration on capacity building is the thread that we really wanted to pull through this whole discussion. And I think one of the first things to think about is the actual word itself, collaboration. We talk about it, or coordination rather. We talk about it, but what does that word actually mean to different people and different actors within the ecosystem? So I thought just to start with, I would ask the panel, in terms of when they think about coordination of capacity building, what does that mean? Because, of course, it's a spectrum from fairly passive, just somebody write a list, keep the list up to date, up to much more active. Somebody could, you know, are we going to operate this thing? Is somebody really going to take charge and own it and run it and make it go and coordinate it that way? So what does that mean to us? And then hopefully by the end, you know, do we find any agreement on what that might actually mean? So over to the panel. Maybe I could just, is there anybody who wants to take a shot at what their version of coordinating capacity building would look like? Keith, I think you're just scratching your head, but your hand was up.
No, it wasn't. I was scratching my head. Reflecting on my area of the Pacific, for example, coordination might mean something more than a group of people coming together in a forum like this and saying we're going to do some capacity building and we're going to run some events down in that part of the world and can we work together, and leaving it at that. I think where you might find that getting somebody from the remotest part of the Pacific might involve them jumping on the twice a month mail boat for 4 days to get to Samoa, to get on a plane to come to New Zealand, where you're conceivably taking someone away for 3 weeks to attend your one-day meeting, you actually do really need to coordinate and you really need to maximise the entire exposure. You can't, you know, for tiny, small island developing states, you can't just look at one issue in isolation and say that's all we can do this time. You have to maximise what you're going to do in every way to warrant bringing people together and building that capacity.
So listen to that. That's a fairly, what I would say is without a doubt, on the active end of coordination. I mean, you're really taking charge of the whole thing, driving it and running it. Any other versions? Jay Scott?
I would have to agree with you. And the reason I say that is I always find that in volunteer organizations, organic-driven initiatives seem to falter and fall off a cliff and fall out of people's minds as the day-to-day part of living goes on and you're dealing with your day job. So I really believe that an active, coordinated effort that is focused and has buy-in and has someone responsible for driving it and meeting goals and metrics is something that would be of great value to everyone, because, as you say, for some people it's a great investment of time and money and effort to participate, and they need to be able to maximize that.
Pierre?
Yeah, thank you. Maybe we have to ask ourselves the question, why do we need to coordinate first? Is it to avoid overlapping? Is it to avoid waste of money and energy? Maybe. Before coordinating, we have to assess and to know what are the needs in terms of capacity building. And the coordination comes at the end, to me. First, we need to have a bottom-up approach and knowing what are the needs of the people who seek capacity building. Otherwise, the coordination is going to be, we think that you need that, and we organize ourselves to give you that. And it has been done that way for years and years, and it's not really working.
Well, that's a great segue, because one of the next questions was going to be, what are the objectives of it? What are the objectives of capacity building? What's the end goal? How do we know when we've got there? When we talk about capacity building, what do countries in Africa need versus the Middle East need versus Asia? I know when I started at .ca, I sure could have used some multi-level, bottom-up governance capacity building personally as a CEO of an organization who didn't understand it. So different regions, different needs.
From my perspective, I don't think you ever get there.
Or Jay Scott?
I don't think you ever get there. The technology just moves too fast. And because it does, there may be people that need more assistance at the beginning, but I don't think anyone is ever completely at capacity. I know at Yahoo it certainly has never happened. The technology changes so very fast.
Paulos, did you want to say something?
Yes, I think picking up from Pierre, I think it's important to first of all ask what is it that needs to be coordinated. And capacity building being such a wide-ranging area, it involves things like skills development, things like tools, things like resources, and things like policy making. So it's important to see what needs to be coordinated, and then we can go down to the coordination itself. In Africa, the various CCTODs, for example, have a varied range of needs in this area, and we try to shape our programs accordingly. We have partnerships that we need to coordinate, for example.
Could you break it into, at the very highest level, there's both the technical and non-technical, would they have equal weight or equal needs in your region?
In our region, technical is by far the biggest need. We have had a DNS forum over the past week, and one of the top on the list is automation, for example, which is a basic need for almost all registrars in Africa. There are very few. There are 54 registrars for CCTLD, and only about two or three of those are fully automated now with EPP, for example. So we need a lot of capacity building in skills development, for example, to be able to run, for the CCTLDs to be able to run automated registrars.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Bahir?
I would like to add where Paulos ended in terms of capacity building in Africa. From the assessment, the African CCs are not doing well in terms of DNS operations. And basically, the assessment, as he said, very few registries have got automated registries. But again, the capacity building aspect falls under another aspect of marketing. Because if you talk about DNSSEC, you can't implement the DNSSEC if the registrars are not capable to deploy DNSSEC. So you find out, and at the end of the day, you have the capacity building at the registrar level. But again, through capacity building, even the IT guys within local institutions, you find out you are branding your CC and therefore promoting the uptake.
Bahir?
Yeah, so from ICANN's perspective, key objective is to strengthen the multi-stakeholder model and to ensure that everyone has the opportunity and the ability to engage in this model. Now, capacity building simply provides the means for individuals and organizations to get engaged and to participate effectively in the process. Now, the details of capacity building, you know, vary from one region to another, and as Pierre said, I mean, we need to have it as a bottom-up process, and we need to identify the priorities and the needs in each region. So, but one of the key overall objectives is to strengthen the model and ensure that everyone is part of it.
Carolina?
Yes. I'm going a little bit back to the word of coordination, to the first question, because coordination works well, and particularly with respect to a regional organization, if you also talk about a cooperation and you have those together. Usually networks that cooperate are sort of more advanced than those who are merely coordinated. So I would reflect on two levels on the issue of coordination. I mean, we need a lot of cooperation, and particularly in capacity building, we need to enforce the idea that we need to have a level of trust among ourselves, and that is an asset that the CCTLD community definitely has, and that is one of the key issues that regional CCTLD organizations do and accomplish. I mean, we work in an environment where the levels of trust are high, and so because of that, we tend to be able to be quite efficient coordinators. And then we are able also to liaise more effectively with other organizations in the region or cross-regionally. And that, I think that to distinguish those two levels and their interplay is quite an important issue.
And maybe I could just pick up on LAC-TLD specifically a little bit. As somebody who's very familiar with the whole region, whose responsibility is the whole region, when we talk about the region that you're in, are you seeing a wide range of requirements in terms of capacity building, or are there some real common themes?
Well, we are an extremely diverse region, and so we do have extremely different needs, and we feel that in a way we have players within our region that can help us sustain ourselves as CCTLDs quite effectively, and actually many of the most developed CCTLDs are very much aware of the role they play in helping others, and that is very much a model that is already at play within LAC-TLD. But we also know, and we had this meeting 2 months ago in Colombia, where we discussed, I mean, if we had to sort of develop a list of activity of CS security, stability, and resiliency checklist of how are we working and what are we doing. And we thought, okay, talking to other CCTLDs in other regions, I mean, would be an extremely sort of important value to our work. I mean, we think that would be that would add a lot of value and legitimacy to the kind of benchmarks that we need.
Keith, I'm going to come to you in a second. Demi, just before I come to you, I'm going to come out to the audience. Are there any comments or thoughts on what we've heard so far, or even the definition of coordination, key goals? I'll leave it with you. I'm going to go back to Demi from the same region, from LAC-TLD region, and really on the ground doing capacity building, as you've done for a very long time. Your thoughts?
Thank you, Bueno. Well, Carolina stole my words more or less, but anyway, I think there are two different things, the collaboration and cooperation, coordination and collaboration. I suppose the most important word for internet is collaboration. We are, from the very beginning of the network, collaborating between ourselves. We are one secondary of the other, and so from the very beginning, the CCs are a very collaborative structure. As for coordination is more to deal with resources or with common resources, like I can do with names and numbers. It's very important to be coordinated in that area, but we do not coordinate between us. We, as CCs, we collaborate. As for capacity building, we need some very specific capacity building inside the CCs, but I think most important than the capacity building is to spread the awareness of the things we are dealing with. For example, the awareness to the community of what is going on with IPv6 and IPv4 depletion, how are we ready to deal with that? What is the real benefit of DNSSEC, and how we spread the DNSSEC through the whole chain of responsibility, not just the registry. It's easy for us to have DNSSEC and our registries are signed. We are one of the first three or four first countries to have all the three signed. But the real benefit is to have all the chain aware of this benefits. And I suppose this is more or less my first words. Thank you.
Thanks, Demi. Keith?
I think just echoing some of the comments that have already been made about the need to be bottom-up, I think if things are cooperative, collaborative, and coordinated in all regards, you're on to the start of a winning formula. For ICANN, for example, to say we have a model that works because in the Middle East it worked, and we're going to cut and paste that and apply it elsewhere, that's not likely to work. It is a question of partners coming together in this space and saying, here is the suite of things that we can deliver, and what is it that you need from us, and what do you need firstly to even make the decision about what you need in order for that help to come. So I think there's also the temptation, the little bit of warning is that we can't entertain any concept of a one-size-fits-all. We found a solution that worked brilliantly there, so therefore we can transpose it everywhere else. I think the uniqueness of the CCTLDs, the way they've grown and so on, is to be cherished and not to be infringed by any top-down approach in that regard.
So capacity building, without a doubt, is a global need, but it's got to be very much regionally or sub-regionally delivered and highly, highly tailored, not even just to a region, but literally country by country in the CC space.
Yes, but where necessary, where the CCTLDs can collaborate together and can work across their region to build that, and so the likes of the regional TLD organisations playing their part and so on to work on those common threads as well. So it's vertical and horizontal.
Jay Scott?
I've worked at Brown & Williams and Tobacco Corporation, through the loom into Yahoo, and then I ran my own business for 14 years. And personally, I think in large global international organizations, you find that the regionalization and sub-regionalization, that's where you're the most successful. The salespeople know that market better. The marketing people know that market. They know the culture better. And it's just smart to harness that knowledge and that passion for the region in a positive manner to find solutions. We hear Africa says that they have technical issues, and it may be others. It's more about marketing and network coordination. I mean, so, and I think allowing regions to self-identify and then coming up with the tools that we can provide them to assist them is the best way to go.
Pierre?
Thank you. I would like to give an example of what I meant by the bottom-up approach when it comes to defining the needs. When we had this Africa DNS forum, there was three or four priority that emerged from the forum, 2 days discussion. One of the most important was the automation, the registries and the ability they can have to run automatically a registry. And then we have another priority, which is DNSSEC. So I don't have anything against DNSSEC. I think it's very important. But to me, this is not at all a bottom-up approach. This is because this is a priority, a global one, a very important one, and one that ICANN is very involved in. But I've never talked to any African CC who told me my priority is to deploy DNSSEC. But my priority is to run my registry, to have EPP, to be able to interact with my registrars. So with the word coordination, we should have the word prioritize, which means that we can feel the need of our counterparts, but we have to know what we shall do before. And on this specific case, I'm very sure that the DNSSEC roadshow is very important, but it's not going to have concrete results because the registries are not technically ready to deploy it. So we have to be very careful on how we prioritize our actions. And for that, the work of AFTLD during the DNS forum was very important, and I really hope that we will start with the beginning, which is automatization of the registries.
Bayer?
Just very, very quickly, picking up on what Keith has said about, one concept or one model would not, one size does not fit all. I agree because, and again, giving examples from my region, the level of engagement of, and taking CCTLDs in particular, as an example, level of engagement of CCTLDs in ICANN and CCNSO is not. Is not tangible. Only few of them who come to ICANN or CCNSO, although maybe many of them are members, but they don't engage. The level of engagement in regional organizations, like in my case, APTLD, for instance, as the largest part of my countries in my region fall under APTLD, again, they're not participating effectively in APTLD. However, when we get to a situation where we have some smaller regional activity among, the Middle East countries, like this project of the strategy, you get more input, you get more engagement, you get more feedback. So I totally agree that one solution wouldn't fit all, or one size solution wouldn't fit all, and we need to look for, variety of mechanisms and solutions to deal with the different cases in different regions.
One of the threads I wanted to pick up on was something that Jay Scott mentioned earlier, and that's the notion of that in a volunteer-centric environment, who really carries the ball on it? We're all busy, we all have day jobs, so who's going to really help do this? Who's going to get it done? And regardless of your definition of coordination, somebody's got to do something. And how does that happen in a fundamentally volunteer-driven environment? We have ICANN, ISOC, regional organizations. They all have a hand in it. There are other organizations that do good work in the DNS space that don't come from this space at all. Other not-for-profit type organizations, and how are they fitting into the mix? And then the other thing I would ask here, especially if there's not strong coordination going on, is how do we ensure that those organizations aren't tripping over each other? You know, it's great to do, or maybe not great to do, depending on your perspective, a DNSSEC workshop. But if ICANN comes in and does it, and then ISOC comes in and then does it, and then some other not-for-profit comes in and does it, and regional organization does it, is that the most effective way to build capacity, or are we just tripping over each other, printing the same materials over and over and over again? You know, do we see that any kind of coordination happening between ISOC and ICANN? And even just on the ICANN, you know, I was interested to see your slide, and I'll pick this up with you guys in a sec. Interested to see the slide in terms of the things that are going to be done, which is capacity building from ICANN, CCTLD operations. And I guess just to be a bit provocative, I would ask the question, well, what does ICANN know about CCTLD operations to be giving lessons on it as a coordination body? And that's a very operational, technical field to be in. Why ICANN? Keith, and then Paulos.
Great points. And yeah, well, it's not likely that you'd find ISOC and ICANN tripping over each other to do the same things. I think, I think I can be quite critical of ISOC, for example, as an organisation that's been very busy recently deploying IXPs in Africa, which are, you know, is a great thing to be doing, but it's not been coordinated with other activities. So for ICANN to have gone in beside ISOC and deployed root server mirrors at the same time, some collaboration over the choice of hardware and finding hardware providers for that as well. You know, there's a whole host of things that could be happening so that, you know, there could then be some cross-border DNS secondary servers between the CCTLDs being installed in each other's countries and so on and so on. So, you know, we're taking advantage of opportunities individually, but we're failing to see the big picture together, and that to me is the waste of this, because you keep going back to go and do another little piece, and it would be better to have a wholesome approach to say this is what we need to do top to bottom and sideways for this particular opportunity.
So a little more coordination. Paulos.
Thank you, Keith, for highlighting that. In Africa, we see a lot of players who want to play a role in capacity building. And the need for coordination of the various players and partners is really, really great. It's good to see that for some of the activities that AFTLD is involved in, we are seeing maybe a pattern arising where AFTLD takes the leading role as the regional organization, and the others support the initiatives that we see. But this is still an issue on the Africa continent, and especially if money is flowing. When funding is flowing, it is a really critical issue, because the partners seem to be tripping over each other, supporting the same country for the same program when they could collaborate and pool resources. I wanted to highlight one more issue for the Africa continent, and this is the definition of the region. This is important because, for example, I saw from the presentation that the North African countries are being treated as Middle East. Now, when we run programs for the continent, we find that there is very little participation from the North Africa region. It's because they are in a dual relationship. Sometimes they think of themselves as it being in the Middle East. Sometimes they think of themselves as being in Africa. And this is quite a big issue for AFTLD, for AFRINIC, for example, as well. So defining the region is also important, so that the area of collaboration is well defined.
Hello, my name is Rodrigo de la Parra, and I'm the Vice President for Latin America and the Caribbean with ICANN. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to participate here in sharing these ideas. I just wanted to make a brief comment on coordination with ISOC and the regional CCTLD organization and ICANN, and highlighting the importance of doing these regional strategies, because it's really a matter of coordinating between different initiatives that are going on in the region to avoid overlapping, of course. So in Latin America, traditionally, we've worked very well with ISOC and LAC-TLD. We're pretty much partners. So we will not overlap the efforts or duplicate with them by no means. We've done that in the past, but now with the regional strategy where everybody is sitting at the same table, more than having a problem of duplication, we have a potential for having synergies and having more resources for capacity building. And I think, yes, you're right, the question of ICANN will continue to be pretty much to coordinate and help and facilitate. As Fadi has mentioned, these regional strategies are not ICANN strategies in the regions. The role of ICANN here is to provide support as needed and as requested for the same stakeholders in the group. So, yes, ICANN has developed some expertise in some subjects, and either we provide some support in, let's say, by providing some third-party organization that provides capacity building, or a couple of staff members that are, you know, in specific subjects professional to share some experiences or capacity building.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Jay Scott first, and then I'll come over here, and then over here.
I serve in a lot of volunteer organizations, and just to a more practical level, you said, how do we ensure? I think that a lot of your members in the CCTLD space are members of these various organizations, and I've always found it very helpful to have someone serve as a liaison, and when you have meetings, they present what is going on in the agendas in these other organizations, and that kind of cross-pollination of information allows you to see where there may be lack of capacity, they're missing an issue, or to reach out and offer help to them. We do that with the other intellectual property organizations all over the world because they're regional, they're national, they're international. And so that type of practical, giving someone a role and responsibility to report back, assists in the information sharing, and I've always found it very useful.
Thanks. Bahir and then Keith, but first I just want to pick up on a point that Paulos made, and maybe I'll just put you, Habibu, in the crosshairs here. What I heard Paulos say is that some countries in the Africa region seem to attract a lot of capacity building. You know, I sort of heard it's almost like a bit of a flood going into one particular one, maybe at the expense of others. Is that something you see or feel, or did I misinterpret what I heard there? And is there some reason for that kind of particular attraction?
I don't think that is very much true, because within the FTLD, first of all, I believe that FTLD within Africa should be the right coordinator of the capacity building initiatives within the region. But again, it depends on the individual CC, how active it is, to get connected to various supporting institutions. Because supporting institutions would like or would be happy to see if you have benefited from their initiatives, how far you are doing, and reflecting from your performance, they might be attracted to assist you further within at the national level.
Is there a danger of that those who are doing well are those who are going to keep attracting?
Basically,
more and more?
There is no danger, because I take .tz as a specific case. We are collaborating very well with the individual CC, and we do collaborate in terms of capacity building, and I have got typical examples that TZ staff went as instructors in one of the coordinated trainings, but also they went to neighboring country, Zambia, for DNSA training. So basically we are taking down the benefit from the sponsors.
Bahir, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that with regard to the Middle East plan, and particularly capacity building activities, we're actually counting on our partners from the ISTAR community, ISOC and the RIRs and others to deliver. So for instance, anything that has to do with V6, RIPE, NC and AFRINIC are lead on this. Anything that has to do with CCTLD operations, training, etc., ISOC is a key lead on those activities as well. So we're not, ICANN is not trying to neither expand its turf or to, nor duplicate efforts. We're trying to coordinate and collaborate with players in the field, whether internationally, regionally, or nationally, to help fulfill the needs of the region.
Thanks. Abibu, and then Keith.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify if I understood well, Paulos, in terms of the support within the African continent. Basically, he was referring in terms of the supporting organizations that they should not go to individual CCs for support. If it's not requested by the specific CC, they should give it to the FTLD who sees overall the training sessions. I think that is what he meant.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. Keith?
Building, I think, a little on Bahir's last comments. There is now the... I think reasonably well-known ISTAR group, comprising the RIRs and ICANN and ISOC and others, where the CEOs and chairs of the board meet periodically, maybe three times a year or something like that. I don't expect that we should have Fadi or Lynn St. Amour discussing an individual IXP or CCTLD development program in any detail, but it may be timely to think about taking that ISTAR vehicle down to another level so that the staff that are involved in global engagement, capacity building and so on could have a level of ISTAR engagement to really get down to coordination. So opening the kimono a little bit, saying here's our strategy and our business plan, and then remashing that on the basis of where true collaboration can occur and avoidance of duplication.
That's an interesting idea, and I was immediately going to have to go to you, Pierre, because when I hear what Keith just said, I mean, that's at the, if I could say, the top of the food chain at a very global level, thinking about driving coordination down, which is in a sense very different than what I've heard Pierre saying, which is it's got to be really on the ground, bottom up. Do you want to clarify anything? Or?
Well, adding to that, the fact that you would have the likes of the CCTLD regional organisations involved and so on. So I'm thinking, it's the global concept of everyone being in the loop and everyone talking about which programs are working and not and what the needs are and so on. So, but not definitely, definitively not top down, still building on the bottom up.
Okay. Pierre and then Carolina.
Thank you. But the question of who's coordinating who, in fact. The experience I've seen with the African strategy was very interesting because I don't think you can say that Pierre Danjinou is coordinating people. He's facilitating the exchange of information between the various actors that are implicated within this region. And I think that's very good. And as long as it stays that way, it will work. And the day someone is going to say in ICANN, no, I'm going to be the coordinator of everything, then it's not going to work at all. So it works now. It works because for the CCs, for instance, AFTLD is the real coordinator, and that's totally logical. And maybe for other parts of the actions that we can take, AFRINIC will be the real coordinator. And for others, maybe for the multi-stakeholder model, AFRALO could be the coordinator. And ICANN put all these people in a room and let them talk to each other. I think this is a good way to go. And sometimes I'm confused when I hear, you know, we are a member of ISOC and we work very well with ISOC. But when I hear, when it comes to CC, ISOC is working on it. I don't know why. I mean, ISOC is not an international body responsible for the CCs. AFTLD in Africa and Center in Europe, they are, and CCNSO globally, they are responsible for that.
Carolina?
I just wanted to, going back to the idea of capacity building and the different kind of issues around capacity building. Okay, in the technical community and the ISTAR community, okay, there's, okay, you say la creme de la creme, I mean, you've got some big organizations there, but you have to take into account that there are RIRs and they have their particular sort of agendas within the region, so they are not global players as ICANN or ISOC, and these do sort of have a lot to say in the regions and in the dialogue between CCTLDs. And there's also an issue when you mentioned right at the beginning of this discussion, of this part of the discussion, Byron, you used the word volunteer. And I'm not so sure that at this stage we are talking just about volunteering, not at a technical level, but among other issues of capacity building, we are getting into a more sort of mixed market volunteer phase of development of these organizations. So I think there are definitely some market strategies behind many of these organizations providing capacity buildings in legal issues, in commercial issues, not so much in technical, but we also have a second outer ring of very concrete examples of extremely efficient and hardworking organizations who do have this kind of mixed models there. So it's getting to be a very sort of complex landscape in that respect.
Just before we go to the back, one of the things that one of the themes that I'm hearing is the evolution of capacity building, and we talked about, and I'd like to break apart a few words. We talked about collaboration versus collaboration and cooperation and coordination. We use those three words. Collaboration and cooperation, I find, tends to be more informal. It's network based. I know you. You got a problem. We work together. That ring can extend, but it tends to be more informal networks doing that. It can be formalized, but I see that as an early stage, more actors getting in, a little more, let's call it professionalized, not that the people weren't professional, but the actual operations of it is a little more professionalized in terms of building capacity or capacity building, which I think is where you were getting to, mixed market type organizations. And at what point, even if we have bottom up, do we need more disciplined coordination between all those different actors, some who are actually getting paid to do it and some who are doing it for other reasons? The back. Is the mic at the back working?
So at the Beijing meeting, John Crane did a briefing to the CCNSO to talk about the types of technical engagement that we do at the ICANN meeting. And for the record, I'm Patrick Jones with the ICANN security team. Before this meeting, we published on the ICANN blog a description of the way that we use within the, ICANN the terminology of security, stability, and resiliency, but we also had some explanation of coordination and collaboration exactly to this. And we say in this piece that a key part of that is the way that we as ICANN staff are collaborating as peers with others in the ecosystem. And as I see each one of these regional strategies being put forth, each one of them has security and stability as a pillar. And there's only so much capacity on our team side of what we can help support. So we're going to look to partners in the either the regional organizations, other groups, individual CCTLDs, perhaps even brands and other experts that are out there that can help support the all the requests that are coming. So we have to collaborate in order to get a lot of the good work that each of the groups is interested in doing.
Thanks, Patrick. And that's actually a good point about just the resource requirements, I think the demand certainly outstrips the supply, so how do we allocate that? And actually, maybe Demi, if I can go to you on this, .BR has a long and rich history of capacity building, and I'm sure you could do a whole lot more if you had the resources. I'm making that assumption. How do you, as a CC who's done a lot of this, prioritize and pick where you deploy your resources?
Okay. In the beginning, we were, of course, was running just the registry services and so, but it was very evident that we have to have some data about the country. Then when the steering committee was created, one of the missions they passed to Nick is to make some kind of research on statistics and data on the country. And the second very important thing also was to keep the traffic that originates inside the country and ends inside the country to be kept inside the country. This is doing, we can do that using internet exchange points. Then we began to use our money we collect via the registry services to establish two new centers in the NIC-BR, one from collecting data and making research about the penetration of the internet in the different regions of the country. It's a very big country, and so we have eight years more or less of data collected, and we publish this in an open form in the web. And the other was to create the internet exchange points to rationalize the traffic and keep the resilience and also the security and stability greater if possible. The third point that is very important because the community wants this all the time is to have some kind of assessment about security. Then we have a security emergency response team inside. It's a quite old team. I suppose began the activity in 96, 97. And we collect data about incidents in security, data about spam, data about phishing and so. This was another way to in some way help the community to be more secure and building confidence in the internet services. Just to make a small addition at the final, we also created some secure areas under the .BR that are sponsored areas. For example, for the judiciary system, we created a second level domain that has DNSSEC mandatory. Then you have to have DNSSEC to be in that domain, and you cannot register under this second level except if you are indicated by the judiciary. It's a closed area. Maybe this is secure for users to, for example, if you create a banking area just for banks to in some way to provide an area with less phishing or a little bit more secure environment. This is one of them.
So if I could, if I can just paraphrase, what I heard there is you really took a fairly focused approach to deploying the resources you had and focused in and around security issues and data and research.
Yes.
But you made a pretty conscious decision. It wasn't just the projects that came available at a given time.
Yes.
Okay. Jay Scott?
You know, you ask a question of what it should look like, formal or informal, and, you know, my personal opinion to all of you is I think the situation itself is going to force a more formal environment. And the reason I say that is because of the competition you're going to face. And as a large company that owns many domains, it's going to be incumbent to get the security issues fixed. It's going to be incumbent to work together and coordinate and share information so that your spaces where we want to be, we want to localize our content for your markets. We want to use you. And so you need to come together and help each other because you've got a huge amount of competitors hitting the market. And they're going to be trying to get people into their ecosystem claiming they're more secure. So I would urge you, I think it's been informal for several years, and I think now the environment and ecosystem is changing, and I would urge all of you to try to formalize it a bit more.
Coming from where you're coming from, What do you see, you know, if you look across our CC ecosystem, you know, there are many different variations on the theme in CCs. What do you see as the critical low points that you would like to see addressed?
I think that there is a need to work with industry players that are willing to capacity build with you to increase security in CCTLDs. Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft face attacks in your CCTLDs all the time because we are the most famous sites, and if they can divert our site, even for 2 hours, it's front page news. And so that's what I would ask for you. I would ask that you get and work, and we're happy to help you and do what we can to show you where we have problems and what we can do and to work, whether it's through ICANN and do webinars or come regionally and do regional workshops. We're willing to do those things and to make it more valuable. We're willing to bring in marketing people to talk about how to market and make it more of a robust discussion so it's not just about security. You're learning sort of a 360 of how you can more effectively work in this new ecosystem. But security is a number one issue, and it needs to we need to all work together because it helps all of us. Me as a registrant, the users who are coming to your site, and you, because it makes more users want to come to your sites.
Now, let me just press on this a little bit. We're going to get whatever we get. Let's say 1,000 new TLDs. That's a good one.
I don't know who that belongs to, but I'd be really great if you could turn it off. Thank you.
We're going to get 1,000 new ones. We're going to 1,000 new guys running new registries. There are a lot of operators here who have been doing a good job for a long time. Why are you worried about this community? And I'm not hearing you saying you're worrying about that community.
We, in my experience, in the 6 years I've been at Yahoo, have not had any problems. And most of those registries are being run by known players, right? The people who got in this game in 2000 and 2004 invested in that because they knew if there were further rounds, they could turnkey registries, right? I mean, some of the registries only have like 9 million names under administration, but they're running country code TLDs and they're running other TLDs as back-end registries. That's where they make, I would say, the lion's share of their revenue. And so those partners we haven't had a problem with in the past. I'm just going on what has happened in my portfolio in the last 2 years. It is increasing more and more and becoming more and more high profile. I'm having no problem in the legacy GTLDs. I'm having great problems in CCTLDs.
Luis Espinosa from Costa Rica. I want to say something about the how the things is built by itself. I think there's a lot of leaders and different infrastructures in the development of different infrastructure in each country, and in each country it's very different. In some countries ISOC, some other countries the CC, some other countries the ISP. Or then I think and I'm clear about the coordination, the absolute coordination is not possible. Then I think it could be helpful if some of these organizations publish, really communicate well what they are doing, but let them do it what they are doing. Because some things I found in the time is there are some organizations trying sometimes to block what others are doing, and I think that is worse than try to coordinate things. Thank you.
Thanks. Any comments? Any other comments or thoughts? Questions for the panel? Maybe we'll just shift gears a little bit here. Because one of the things I think is interesting to me that I'm hearing, you know, I've heard we should go ISTAR, a little bit more coordination up here. We should stay right down on the ground at a CC level here. Some really good comments that regional organizations are a natural point of entry. ISOC is off doing something that may or may not have anybody, any other actors participating in it. It might not be the right thing in the right place at the right time. ICANN saying we certainly don't have the resources to do it all. You know, there's a lot of different data points out there that to me are sort of crying out a little bit for some more coordination. Not driving it, but some more active coordination, seeing there's all these actors trying to do stuff, other actors who need stuff. And dare I'm not advocating for a centralized repository or anything, but like some way to bring those together, or at least have some more disciplined, or to pick up on Jay Scott's ideas, some more mature way of doing this that is not just based on collegiality or relationships.
And I want to pick up on something that Carolina said that I think is fundamental to all of ICANN, and I'm not familiar with your community, is the issue of trust. That's what makes it work, is trust. And we have to trust that we're all working together, because it is all beneficial for all of us if we trust each other and we work together to a positive good, because we are the caretakers of a system that some in this world believe is an inherent human right. And so I think it's very important that we all learn to trust each other. We build on that trust and we work together. But you're not going to be able to do it unless you begin to break down that distrust.
Well, I think one thing in this room in particular, maybe in part because we don't typically compete against each other, we share a set of common experiences and challenges working with domestic governments, etc. There's a lot of trust in this room. Pierre, you wanted to jump in.
I think the situation is not as bad as it seems when you talk about these various organizations doing the same thing, maybe overlapping. I think the DNS Africa Forum was a kind of evidence that the people are engaging in a more coordinated way on the ground. All the players are now working together. I'll give a simple example with ISOC. ISOC and AFTLD work on a study on the statistics from the various African CCs, and Collège International de l'Ethnique used to work with AFTLD on the same project. So it was exactly overlapping. And after 1 hour of discussion, we joined forces, and that's not complex at all, and it works better than after. So there are really improvements, and it's not the mess that it seems that it is.
Demi?
I think the main problem we have, if you have any problem in this area, is the lack of clearness of the things. It's a little bit fuzzy scenario, but is good in some way also. I don't see much overlap, but there are some overlap, of course. For example, ISOC. ISOC began as an organization to be the home of activities like IETF, like IRB, and so, to be some kind of support of them. But of course, they are two-folded more than that organization. There is also a place for you hear the civil society bottom-up process. Then I think we have to have the scenario, and I am very confident that with these five panels that ICANN has announced yesterday or before yesterday, we will have really a good way to see the whole scenario of interaction between these organizations. The technical people via IETF, the bottom-up from the community via ISOC, and there is also the at-large in ICANN, but there are quite some overlapping on that. Maybe we can clarify that. And the specific actions like coordinating numbers and numbers done by ICANN and so. Then, of course, we have also the infrastructure with ITU and others, but I am quite confident that with these five panels of ICANN, we can have a better and clearer picture on that.
Thank you. Jay Scott, you just wanted to clarify?
I just want to clarify when I talked about trust. You said in this room. I agree. I think there probably is. That's not the, what I see as an inherent weakness in ICANN's model. It's the trust outside of this room with other people who are not like-minded like you. And it's not, I'm not saying that you all are guilty of that. I think the organization has that sort of history. And if we cannot rid ourselves of that as we mature and begin to trust one another, I think it'll be very difficult. But I'm not trying to say that you all are not a cooperative and collegial body at all.
And I also wanted to, we'll go to Paulus and then Keith. I just wanted to pick up on something I heard in the last couple of comments too, is it's not that things are bad or broken. I think it's more that it's just, could we optimize this? Could we be more efficient and more effective? If resources are somewhat scarce and we can't do everything we'd like to, are we at least making sure we're doing the absolute best we could with what we have? Paulus.
Thank you. I think that the, for example, on the Africa region, the need for collaboration has been highlighted in the last few months, and I would like to agree that things are not really that broken, but the need for collaboration is very key. And for example, the various internet-related regional organizations in Africa have come under one umbrella, for example, in June this year, and we're calling it the Africa Internet Summit. So it's an umbrella which involves IP numbers, AFRINIC, CCTLDs under FTLD, security under Africa SET, training and African Network Operators Group, AFNOG, and so forth. So we do realize the critical need for collaboration, and we welcome the various players that are taking part in this, ISOC, AFNIC, and the other ICANN and all the other players. So it's not really that badly broken.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Keith?
Just a bit of a side point, but just building on Jay Scott's comments about the level of trust in this room, I think you know, we probably have to recognise that the trust between us is under considerably more threat going forwards than ever before. The fact that we have been able to sit in this room and share our marketing plans and other plans and our, you know, the intrusions into our networks, and we can be quite open and honest because we're not competing directly with each other. But going forwards, as a number of people in the room who are also operating GTLDs come on board, we may not trust each other so much. So we're probably poised at an interesting point of having to reaffirm our togetherness in various ways. So capacity building in that regard probably is under greater threat going forwards than we might realise too.
Well, that's an interesting threat and maybe not germane to this particular panel, but one thing is CC members, when we come in this room, we need to remember what hat we're wearing, no matter what else we do, right? One of the things, just as we come into the closing minutes here, that I'd like to try to pick up on is there a natural coordination point that it's not broken, things are okay, but resources are scarce, and can we do better because we know we have a need? So I'm just going to leave that with you and then go to Nigel.
Yes, thank you. I'm not sure what point I was responding to, but there was just three very brief points. Nigel Hickson, Vice President for Europe, ICANN staff. First of all, congratulations on your 10th anniversary. It was fantastic to do last night. I know that's irrelevant to this subject, but I just thought I'd say that. Secondly, there was a comment about, you know, one of the issues about this whole game, ISOC, the RIRs, the World Bank, and, of course, you know, it is a lot of players, the Commonwealth Technology Organization. There's a lot of players out there doing capacity building. One of the things the European Union are doing, and I'm not just saying this because the European Union are doing it, is setting up a global internet policy observatory, Now, this is still in the early days, and, you know, it might be good, it might not be any good, but it is a thought, it's an idea of bringing together in some information, you know, source or whatever, all that's going on. Now, I'm not saying that's going to solve all the problems, but it's an interesting idea, I think. And thirdly, Europe, in terms of a strategy, as some of you know, we're also thinking of a strategy. We've got a breakfast tomorrow morning. Well, not a breakfast, but a breakfast meeting. I must clarify, of course. ICANN breakfasts. So this is to look at a strategy. And here in, you know, for Europe in particular, of course, it's a very different environment. It's very diverse, different environment, lots of things going on, especially in your area, the CCTLD space. So perhaps if we do have a strategy, the focus will be very different from what it is in other regions. But, you know, this is something to think about. Thank you.
Thanks, Nigel. So maybe I can just take a moment to go down the panel here. We'll start with you, Paulos. Any closing thoughts? And is there a natural point of entry? And just to throw it out there, would regional organizations be kind of the natural place to rationalize both the demand and potentially the supply of capacity building?
Thank you. Yes, I think there is a natural coordination point. I think that once we identify the areas, the regional organizations are really a good place to start for the coordination. But they can't do everything, so they need to realize that they are addressing a particular sector. And for the Africa region, this is what we thought that we saw, that when you are talking about a particular area like security, then probably the Africa set would be a regional organization to talk to. I just want to raise one more issue, if you allow me to state up a little bit. I think that the issue of language is a big issue for coordination, and this is a big issue for Africa because language plays a critical role in coordination, and we have an English-French-speaking division that's very, very clear. So this does affect how we coordinate our region, and just to bring it up, thank you.
And that's a great point, and this is such a rich subject, we didn't even get to touch on that, but it's certainly a very relevant point. And I just want to say Leslie has a reputation in this room for always being on time, and given it's her last few moments of chairwomanship, I wouldn't want to wreck that, and I know she's going to sum up, so I'm going to ask the rest of you, you know, one quick hit, 10 seconds. It doesn't have to be on regional organizations is the point. I just threw that out there, or it can be, but just a few seconds.
Thank you, Byron. Yes, I couldn't agree more with Paulos, and I also think we do have the same problems in terms of language issues as well. We are a focal point of contact and of an external and internal point of contact, but we also need to bear in mind that we need to address the diversity, and we need to sort of help CCT at least foster their own initiatives as much as possible, and the diversity of the ecosystem, both within the territories of each CCTLD and in the overall internet ecosystem, is essential to keep it sort of vibrant and different from other industries or sectors. So I think that's a really sort of interesting point to bear in mind.
Thanks, Carolina. Keith.
That was a long 10 seconds.
Yeah, now you have five.
I just want to say that the one thing I will take on board more than anything else was Jay Scott's comments right at the start that capacity building, I've always assumed you think about that for outreach, and when you actually really think about it, it applies to us all at all levels. So I think I'll rethink my way through capacity building a little bit more.
On that note, Jay, Scott.
All I want to say is thank you so very much for having this panel, and thank you so very much for inviting me to participate. I think you're a wonderful organization. I was around when you all started, and you've grown and matured, and I thank you so very much for allowing me to be here today.
Thank you.
Oui, je vois vraiment pas de quel problème linguistique Paulos voulait parler. Tout va bien, et on se comprend tous. No, I just wanted to add that with the regional organizations, there is a new one that has been launched, that is the African Registrar Association. Mohamed Diop and Nick Kano are working on it, and I think it's going to be an important dialogue with them also. And there is one organization we didn't talk about and who is very important historically in the capacity building in Africa. It's ITU. I think we should talk with them also.
Good point.
Coordination is important. It doesn't have, though, to be central around any specific body or bodies. I think it must be as distributed as the internet itself. There are many actors in the field, so we should continue to work together and improve our coordination among ourselves.
My last few words would be that I agree with the Paulos that regional top-level domain organizations are the right coordinators of capacity-building initiatives, and CCs can take it further down at national level. But more importantly, individual CCs are encouraged also to collaborate. Thank you.
Okay. I think that CCs are the really international part of ICANN. We have to have this in mind. We are the bridge for the governments. We are really the rich part of internationalization of this organization. And as for coordination and collaboration, I think we have to keep in mind collaboration and discuss collaboration, but do coordination all the time. Oh, sorry, exactly the inverse. We have to keep in mind and discuss coordination and do collaboration all the time. I suppose collaboration is the center of the internet, and we are all in the same side of the fence. Thank you.
Those are some great final words, Demi. Thank you. And over to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Can I run over? It's me running over. That doesn't count, right? Okay, so my task was to endeavor to summarize that discussion. I'll tell you what I think I heard. On coordination, there were certainly some people talking about what is it that needs coordination. Then I had a whole load of C words. So coordination needs cooperation, communication, and collaboration. Lots of C's. Then there was discussion that there's actually problems if there are too many organizations involved. There's the potential for duplication. There's the potential for tripping over each other. And coordination, is that at a global level, a regional level, a country level, or all of those, but not ideally from a top-down way? We heard about the number of partners that are currently working together already on coordination, and really how coordination will become increasingly important. On capacity building, nobody actually pushed back on the need for capacity building. That wasn't our discussion. Our discussion was about maximising the opportunities, giving the best results for the investment of time and resource that is often made. Quite a number of you talked about assessing the needs first, as opposed to prescribing the needs from on high at whatever level. And particularly, we noted that models that may work well in one area may certainly not necessarily transfer to another area. And particularly, we need to think about the issue of languages. Interestingly, in this discussion, we only briefly touched on what actually are the needs, what are the skills and experiences where we need to do this work. But we did talk briefly about the need for technical skills, marketing skills, legal issues, and security and research as potential areas, and the need for greater awareness of developments. But I got the sense from one and several others that things aren't particularly broken, but are we really doing the best with the resources and the time that we are investing? Then we went on to the why, and I think the bit that I heard was about we're doing this because it strengthens the multi-stakeholder model, and we're doing this because it helps. it helps CCs particularly and their operations and development. I thought that the issue of the who does this was particularly interesting. So certainly there's a lot of work going on to date, and there seems to be a growing number of organisations that either play a role or want to play a role. I heard ISOC, ICANN, ITU, regional organisations, CCs themselves, and now the European Union. There was some discussion about the respective roles. Are those going to change as time develops? And are the roles that are currently taken the ones that will be appropriate going forward? What is ICANN's role? We heard about the regional strategies and what appeared to be a role to coordinate, support and facilitate with partners as part of those strategies. But also that, of course, is assuming a role for ICANN. We heard about country codes themselves needing to determine what help they need and where they might go for help or for collaboration. And the big who's coordinating who debate may well continue for some time, I suspect. But we also heard about how our landscape is changing, how market changes and potentially high-profile security breaches may force a transition from a volunteering model to maybe a mixed model with more formal roles and more formal roles of engagement. And we also touched on the need for trust and the need to break down any distrust that may exist. And is that actually going to be put under pressure as the market forces take effect? That's what I heard anyway. Your mileage may vary. But I'd like to say thank you very much for a great open discussion, and please join me in thanking the panellists. So, thank you, everybody. That concludes the CCNSO meeting. We are going to go on to a council meeting, which will begin at 4 o'clock. After coffee.